Thanks for listening to today's message. We hope that it will encourage you and help you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.
How many of you have been enjoying our Jeopardy with Jesus series? Six of you. Awesome. Okay. Now, how many of you have actually started watching Jeopardy every night because of this series? Put up your hand. Nobody. Okay, that's okay. That wasn't our focus, right? That wasn't our goal. So, growing up as a pastor's kid, I always put these expectations on myself to appear to have it all together. I always tried to make good decisions in my life. And one thing I really didn't want to do was if I made bad decisions, it would negatively affect my parents, right, and my family. That if I did something wrong, I would be a disappointment to many. And reputation has always has always been important. If you could turn me down just a little bit, my wife's like, "Hey, make sure you're not super loud like you were last week." All right, I love that she could just be totally honest with me. I am super loud, so just I want people to like me. Okay, so reputation. We're talking about a little bit of reputation here. I want you to like me, so I don't want to be too loud that I'm screaming at you. And sometimes I get a little bit excited, right? So sorry if I just burst your eardrums, all right? So reputation was and has always been important to me. Who can relate to that? And as a student, I want to make sure that my decisions wouldn't have a negative effect on our church and people around me and my family, even though I never felt pressure to be perfect, because I was not perfect at all. And as I was preparing this message, I'm reminded of a friendship that I had, and his name was Alan, and none of you would know Alan. I lived in a northern small town called Vanderhoof, and it was past Prince George. Probably some of you have been there before. And when I was in, this is my elementary school days, and this guy was my best friend. We went to church together. We played sports together. We would watch the Canucks together. And finding a friend that likes the Canucks is very hard to find, right? They normally like a good team, right? Unlike the Canucks. We went to church together. We would do sleepovers. And when he was a year older than me, so I kind of looked up to him. And when he was in grade 8, things started to change. Things started to change. Even the way he talked started to change. Things that he was getting into started to change. And I really kind of missed that friend that I had, that we could kind of just be innocent kids together and hang out not getting any like real trouble. And I noticed he started to change in the way he spoke, so maybe swearing a bit, lying a bit, and he started to steal. And he started shoplifting, and I remember me being younger and me like looking up to him and me just really loving my friendship with him. I always had a great time with him. I started to like think, am I losing my best friend? And I was starting to really think of, you know, I grew up in a Christian home. I love Jesus. I wanted to serve him. I wanted to make good choices. But this friend started to get into the wrong stuff. And I was really starting to think, oh, maybe just to fit in, I want him to think like I'm still cool. Like even though I'm in elementary school, he's in high school. And I remember I decided to trek around Vanderhoof for the day, and I was going to walk with him while he shoplifted, all right? And just to let you know, I have changed, okay? I've changed since then, but I was an accomplice to what he was going to do. And I remember this whole day, I was having that inner battle of, I want him to think I'm cool. So I want to do what he does so he would still like me and still be my best friend. And so as the day went on, we ended up going to my favorite store, and this is the last store, and it was my favorite store. It was called the Lucky Dollar, all right? Did they have a Lucky Dollar here? No? Okay. There used to be a Target, I hear, which I'm sad that's gone. But Lucky Dollar was my favorite store because I would spend my life savings at Lucky Dollar. You know why? Because they had hockey cards. And they had hockey stickers, so I could fill up my hockey sticker book. And I would spend, I would go there my $5 Saturdays and spend all my money. And I remember in this store, I was with him and he ended up stealing. And I had this inner battle. I had these voices, these thoughts going on in my head. And there was one telling me to run and get out of the store. All right? There was another voice saying, do it. Do it, right? And then there was another one, I'm pretty sure it was my mom, if you do this, I will kill you, right? And as I was having this inner struggle, I went against everything I was about. My morals went down the tube, and I remember I decided to take the plunge. I decided to fall into temptation that was surrounding me all day. My focus went off of Jesus and doing good to doing something I thought this might make me popular. This might make me not look like a so-called wuss. I did it. What happened? I didn't get caught, but I might as well have. Because right when I walked out that door, I felt the instant guilt. I felt sick to my stomach. I felt gross. I felt like I was a disappointment to not only my family, but I was a disappointment to God. But I felt that was something I needed to do for some sort of reason. And I remember as the day went on, I was thinking, man, I wish I could have that moment back. I wish I could have that moment back. And as I went home that night, it was Saturday night, and I couldn't even watch hockey. That's how sick to my stomach I was. And I remember lying down that night that I made this mistake, and I started to cry, and I started to weep, right? And it was like the ugly cry, right? It was the ugly cry, and I was weeping really loud, and my dad heard me. And my dad came in, and I'm really thankful for the dad I have because he's very patient, he's very wise, and he was such a good father, right? He was always, there, a part of my life. And I remember he asked me this question that can open a whole can of worms. What's wrong? Right? Have you ever asked that question? What's wrong? Right? We don't know what you're going to get. You could get something really like big and you're like, whoa, I don't know how to deal with that. I don't know what to say. And this was the question that my dad asked, what's wrong? I had a few choices. I could lie. I could say something and like say I stubbed my toe or something towards that line or if I told the truth, what kind of implications could this lead to? And I decided to tell him the truth. Dad, I did something stupid today. I stole. I feel really terrible about. My dad said, you know what? Let's pray, right? There's always he always had like that wise answer. Let's pray. And I was there. I apologized. I apologized to God. And I apologized to my dad for doing that. And then he said something that terrified me way more is, hey, we're going to go to the store. And you're going to apologize to the owner. And I knew that was the right thing, but it was terrifying, right? What could happen? You know, like, what could happen? Is he going to phone the police? Or even worse, is he going to make sure I'm not allowed in that store again so I can't buy hockey cards, right? What were the consequences going to happen? Like, what was going to happen? Was my dad going to rat out my best friend and our friendship would be over? And the next day, we went over to the store, went over to the owner, and I apologized, and I paid for the items. And I'm pretty sure, well, I know for sure, that the one saying run was the Holy Spirit. And I decided to fall in temptation that was surrounding me that day. Now, the one common denominator I've really noticed throughout my life is when things haven't gone well, it's normally because my eyes aren't focused on Jesus. I don't know if you would relate to that statement. The one common denominator, and I'll be talking about that this morning, when my focus hasn't been on Jesus, we tend to make poor decisions. When things aren't going good, things normally aren't going good with our spouse, with our family, with our kids. Maybe we make bad or poor financial decisions, say, oh, I want to buy a nice car today, not thinking about all the payments that we're going to have to make, 72 months later, right? We focus on the circumstances we are currently facing rather than believing that God is there to help us to get through whatever we are facing. Instead of fleeing from temptation and lucky dollar and listening to the Holy Spirit telling me to get out of the store, I did the opposite. My focus was off that day to bring monetary happiness to fit in, and believe me, it was seconds of happiness, and I wish I could take that back, although it does add stories that I could talk to our youth about. And our youth have heard that story before, and it's something that I have regretted. So I've been given the question, O ye of little faith, all right? And according to Jesus, what three things keep us from great faith? What three things keep us from great faith? And this morning, we are going to examine a question that Jesus asked more than once. And if you do a word search on O ye of little faith, you'll be given five passages of Scripture, four separate accounts in Matthew and a fifth in Luke 12, which retells Matthew 6:30. As we unpack these Scripture, this question, we could easily do like a four-week session on each one, but I'm going to try to unravel it in one week, all right? One message. So lean over to your neighbor or spouse and say, are you ready? Are you ready to take some notes? All right? My goal for today is that our faith will be strengthened. Who would want to increase their faith today? Who would want to be strengthened in their faith, in their walk with Jesus? And that is my prayer, that is my hope, and that's hopefully where I will guide you this morning through the Holy Spirit's help. Here, Jesus questions the disciples about their faith. And how would you feel if you were questioned about your faith? And this morning, I'm going to ask you three questions. Some may be uncomfortable, okay? Some might be uncomfortable. Some might not be uncomfortable. I think for me, all these three things are things that I can work on and I could use more of in my life. So let's go to our Jeopardy board. Doesn't Evan do such a great job with that? We're going to miss him when he goes to college as well. Let's take have a little faith for 200. The question is, according to Jesus, these three things keep us from great faith. I think there's supposed to be some music. We all know the Jeopardy song. I should have this every time I speak. This is awesome. Great idea, Pastor Chad. All right. So the first question is, why do you worry? Why do we worry? Anybody? Why do we worry?
Fear.
Fear. Why do we worry?
What if?
What if? That's a good answer. So let's read some scripture, all right, this morning. Matthew 6, 25 to 34. We're going to read from the New Living Translation. Just get a quick swig of water here. Verse 25, that is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food or drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food? And your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And if that happened to me, I would live a very long life. And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the fields and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautiful as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for flowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? Although it's good to wear clothes. Am I right? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, and I worry, but as a believer, I worry, but I have Jesus in my life. Why do I worry? But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom. This is a verse to underline if you're following with your Bible or you're writing notes. Verse 33, seek the kingdom of God above all else. Live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Do I hear amen?
Amen.
All right, you guys are with me. If your neighbor's sleeping, give him a nudge with your elbow, okay? So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. I love how the Message puts it, because it kind of puts it in a story format, which I like. And it says, give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. Give your attention to what God is doing right now. And don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the times come. Isn't that great? God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the times come. No matter what issues comes tomorrow, God will be there to help. Jesus is speaking to his disciples who are worrying about their physical needs being met. That material was inappropriate for them. And rather than having partial knowledge of what God is doing with them, they should have more knowledge. He shares this sound teaching to show God's plan for them. If they are willing to give up their earthly possessions to follow him, he will take care of them. If we're willing to give up our earthly possessions to follow him, he will take care of us. That no matter what circumstances they face, they are to stick by his word, and he will see them through their hardships. Are we willing to give up our earthly possessions? Our joys? Maybe those things that we're not proud of. Are we willing to give those things up to follow him? I've always had a hard time singing particular worship songs, and I don't know if you're with me, but there was one, especially when I was younger, and I love the song, I love listening to people sing it, but it was always hard for me to sing, and it's I Surrender All. Who loves that song? Love that song. I Surrender All. And every time I sing it, or every time I hear it and I want to sing it, I think, do I actually surrender all? Do I actually surrender all? And I don't want you to like if we ever sing it in church, I don't want you to like, I'm not going to sing it. Right? That's not my intentions. But for me, I have found that hard because I use that time of worship to kind of reflect and thank God for everything He's done for me. And I like looking at the lyrics because I wanna really mean what I sing, right? And that was always a hard one for me because am I lying? Am I lying if I'm singing it? I'm singing Proclamation, you know, like. The other one was Hillsong United, I will go until the ends of the earth. And I'm like, I wonder if I sing this song, God's going to call me somewhere I don't want to go, right? I don't want to sing that song because I don't think I'm ready, right? What about my family? What about all these things? And these are all like doubts for me. And can anybody relate to that? Anybody? These guys are like ultra good. Like only one person put up his hand. As I've been preparing for this message, I feel, or I know that the Holy Spirit has been speaking to some of you about maybe doing something that's out of the norm. Something that may be a bit crazy. And I think some of you might be a little bit nervous. And I don't know if it's one or some, or I just kind of felt the Holy Spirit tell me this that this week. Are we willing to let God control our life? Reality is, if He calls us to do something and we are uncomfortable with it, we don't feel like we're good enough, or we don't have those talents or strengths, don't you think God would end up giving those resources to us? He will give us the things that we need to make those things happen. That we need to take steps of faith today. It could be something very, very easy, like maybe talking to your neighbor about Jesus, or even talking to them about, hey, at church today, this is what we learned, or you know, maybe being different at work, or like just taking steps, right? We need to ask ourselves, am I more valuable than a bird? Am I more valuable than a bird? Am I more valuable than a flower? Why do we worry when Jesus has provided us sound teaching? What are you worried about this morning? Seek the kingdom of God above all else, live righteously, and He will give you everything you need. Let's take a step of faith this morning, or a hand of faith. If that's you who struggles with worry, just put up your hand. Just put up your hand. Don't be ashamed. I'm putting up my hand. Let's pray, all right? Lord Jesus, we thank You for who You are, and that You love us, You care for us. And we pray for those that struggle with worrying. We pray, Lord, that these truths that we talked about, Lord, that they will impact our heart. Lord, that You are with us. Lord, that You can take care of us. That You are our strength. That You are bigger than anything, Lord. Amen. The second question is, why are you afraid? Why are you afraid? What? Why? Yeah, why are you afraid? Matthew 8:23-27 says, then Jesus got into the boat and started across the lake with His disciples. Suddenly a fierce storm struck the lake with waves breaking into the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. How many of you could sleep through anything? Nice. The disciples went and woke Him up, shouting, Lord, save us, we're going to drown. Jesus responded, why are you so afraid? You have so little faith. Then he got up, rebuked the wind and the waves, and suddenly there was a great calm. The disciples were amazed. "Who is this man?" they asked. "Even the winds and the waves obey him." I remember last summer, my daughter was going on a lot of camping trips, and she has like this best friend, and their family just loves having her around, and I don't blame them. We like having her around too. And so she's gone on all these camping trips, and she went to this place called San Joseph's Bay. Have you ever heard of that? And it's outside of Port Hardy. And I remember us, like, we're a little bit nervous because there was no cell reception, right? First world problems, right? There was no cell reception. We were like, okay, like if you talk about camping with my wife, like, she likes the glamping part, right? Like you know, our kind of camping's like borrowing my parents' motorhome and going to like Shuswap or something, Blind Bay. Well, for them, they'll go tent wherever, and that's kind of not our style. And I remember we were talking to Greg about this, and I kind of gave Greg a heads up. I'm going to be talking about you a little bit this morning, and Greg's like, "Oh, why or something towards that line? Why would you let her do that? Because there's lots of wolves there." And I love Greg because he just shares whatever's on his mind, right? And he doesn't know how wimpy I am, and thinking like, "Okay, now I'm freaked out." You know, Kim and I are really nervous, and Kim's like, "Do you think we should go drive there and go see if they're okay?" And I'm like, "I think we should pray." I think we should pray. And we're like, "Okay, we just got to give this to God." And I remember the phone call from my daughter. It was like the next night or something like that, saying, "Hey, we're in Port Hardy. We're heading home now." Phew. Like, we were worried, right? We were freaked out, and there was a lot of fear there. And here in this scripture, Jesus and his disciples are on the lake, and Jesus falls asleep. He was really tired, right? And a fierce storm comes, and the disciples are afraid for their lives. And the disciples' faith and trust were based around the circumstances. They forgot who was sleeping in the boat. They were focused on those waves, and they're like, "Hey, like, we're going to die. We better get Jesus up," right? The storm was the focus rather than God's word, because in Luke 8:22, Jesus had already told them that they would reach the other side. It says, "Let us go over to the other side of the lake." They panicked, behaving like they were about to die. They should have trusted Jesus. And this merited Jesus' scolding. Those who follow Jesus don't need to fear, because Jesus is with us through the storms. Amen. What storm is on your mind today? What storm is on your mind today? Is it taking your focus off of Jesus? Are you focused on the surroundings? Are you focused on the winds and the waves? Where was their faith? Where was their focus? Not in Jesus, but in their own troubles. Their little faith was limited. So why are we afraid when he provides us peace? Why do we get afraid when he provides us peace and shalom? He provides us the peace in the storm. I don't know if you've been watching the news lately. If you lived in our house, and my wife has a day off, there's news on in the morning, lunch, dinner, and 11 o'clock is my least favorite, because I think about it when I go to bed. But there's one story that's been going on over this kind of last year, and that's a story about a couple who adopted a boy from Nigeria. Are you guys familiar with this story? The Morans are pastors in Abbotsford. Clark is a friend of mine. And this is something that's been real like hard thing to for them to go through. It's been really hard as a church. Could you imagine your lead pastor? Like we went out, well, Pastor Dave was here, right, for that year, but we were in search of our new lead pastor, but their lead pastor was overseas, right? And they were adopting this boy, and they ran into a bunch of a lot of issues, and it was looking pretty grim, and because of all the prayers of the people and then prayers of the church and their prayers were answered, that they were able to bring their boy Ao back home, or home, which is great news. What storm are you in today? If God cares for the birds and the flowers, He will care for you. Seek the kingdom of God and live righteously, and He will give you everything that you need. Third question is our last question. Why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? And you're probably sensing a theme. There's a lot of stuff about water, boats, Jesus, right? Matthew 14, 22 to 36. Immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. After sending them home, he went up into the hills to pray. Night fell, he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble, far away from the land, for a strong wind had risen. They were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock, in the morning, Jesus came towards them, walking on the water. And when the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried, "It's a ghost!" But Jesus spoke to them at once. "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage. I am here." Then Peter called to him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water." "Yes, come," Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. Just imagine this. Here's Peter, gets out of the boat. He's walking on the water, which would be totally cool, right? And he starts to notice the wind, the waves, and he starts to get terrified. What was happening to his focus? His focus was on his surroundings rather than his focus being on Jesus. He was terrified and began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. "You have so little faith," Jesus said. "Why did you doubt me?" When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. Then the disciples worshiped him. "You really are the Son of God," they exclaimed. After they had crossed the lake, they landed at Gennesaret. When the people recognized Jesus, the news of his arrival spread quickly throughout the whole area, and soon people were bringing all their sick to be healed. They begged him to let the sick touch at least the fringe of his robe, and all who touched him were healed. Wouldn't that be amazing? It'd be amazing to see. Jesus sends out the disciples out on a boat to cross the lake, sends people home, goes up the hill to spend time to pray. Winds come, right? Peter's walking on water. When he saw the winds, he begins to sink, right? He focuses on the circumstances. It was not that he lost faith in himself, but that his faith in Jesus, strong enough to get him out of the boat and walking on the water, was not strong enough to stand up to the storm. That is why Jesus said to him, "Man of little faith." Called him a man of little faith. And then adds the rhetorical question, "Why do you doubt?" Peter's cry may have sounded like one of ours at one time in our life. "Help me, Lord. Save me, Lord." Peter shows both strong faith and little faith in this passage. So why do we falter? Why do we doubt him when he's shown his power to us countless times? Why do we doubt him when he's shown his power countless times? When finances have been tight and we might not have enough money to pay the bills, it always seems to work out. When a family member or we become sick, that God's with them. Maybe when we're missing home, that God gives us his comfort. Maybe when your work environment becomes difficult, God is with you. He can help you. Maybe when your boyfriend or girlfriend breaks up with you. Why did you doubt when Jesus has shown his power? So many times Jesus questions them about their faith. How would you feel if you were questioned about your faith? My hope, my prayer is that your faith is stronger today. O ye of little faith, it's not that they believe God a little bit. It's not a speck that should have moved a mountain. Rather, they understood God's word a little bit. They only grasped a small amount of what Jesus was saying to them. Instead of holding fast to his word, they began to look at the circumstances around us. Are we looking at the circumstances around us? They began to look at circumstances through human speculation, through the human eyes. They trusted in their surroundings, and Jesus was displeased. In conclusion, I want to give you opportunities this morning to, if something's kind of hit home, Holy Spirit's been talking to you, something maybe a situation that you're facing today. We've got some of our counsel here. I'd love you guys to come up and pray. Pray with people, our staff. Why do we worry when Jesus has provided sound teaching? Why are we afraid when he provides us peace, shalom? Why do we doubt when Jesus has shown his power? I don't know what you're facing this morning, what you feel challenged with this morning. Maybe God's called you to do something maybe a little bit crazy. That's happened to me a few times. Amen. You're welcome to stay around the altar, and if you'd like to receive prayer, we're still up here. I think God's ministering to some hearts today.
Thanks again for listening to today's message. We hope that it encouraged you as you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.